Morning, everybody. It's just wonderful to be in God's presence. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Father, we thank you so much for the privilege of being your children, that you rescued us, Lord, from our desperate and despotic lives, Lord. You rescued us and you made us your own. Lord, you've given us vision, purpose, and you called us to be part of your forcefully advancing kingdom in these days. And Lord, we're so grateful for that. So grateful, Lord Jesus, that we once had meaningless lives, and now you've made our lives full of meaning, full of purpose, full of passion. We're so, so grateful, Lord, that you ever chose us. And thank you, even this morning, you can choose others, Lord, that there are people here today, Lord, you want to pluck out of their lives and take them into your life. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you that all over the city, Lord, you are preparing people to be added to us and be part of your forcefully advancing kingdom in these days. In Jesus' name, amen. So we've been looking at the theme of a people on the move over the past weeks. And the question that we've been speaking about is, how do we become a revival generation? How do we become those who violently lay hold of the kingdom that is forcefully advancing in our day? That's really what we want to be. We want to be a people who are given over to the purposes of God in our generation, because God is about a great purpose. And I'm convinced in my heart that we live in times of revival. That we often, if you look throughout revival history, people didn't know they were living in revival. But if they look back on history, they saw that thousands and upon thousands were swept into the kingdom of God. And they didn't realize at the time that they were living in a time of extraordinary measure of the outpouring of the gifts and the grace of God. And I believe that we're living in just such a time as that. And so then the question for us is, how do we get in on that? How do we lay hold of it? Rob this morning was reading that scripture about the harvest is white. And then it goes on and says, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send workers into the harvest so that they can gather in this mighty end time harvest. So how do we get to be those who are workers in the harvest? That's really what I want to be asking. And you, quite a few of us have been preaching along this theme. I want to remind you of the sermons that I've brought to you on this theme. I started with Psalm 1, and it speaks about those who are given over to God, those who put God first in their lives. And it speaks about those who do not do certain things, walk in the counsel of the wicked, stand in the way of sinners, sit in the seat of mockers, but whose delight is in the Lord. How are we those who have a delight in the way and the things of God? How do we delight our soul in God? How do we give ourselves wholly, totally over to God? And then we looked at Psalm 2, and in Psalm 2 is presented this amazing thing that God is doing in the nations, that he is installing his king in Zion. And all the nations will come down and bow down before him. At the end of the day, when all is said and done, his king will be installed in Zion. And all nations will be subject to him. And not only that, we can get in on that. We can be participators in this amazing thing that he's doing in the nations. Because all nations, at the end of the day, the Bible says that there will come a time when God comes back, when Jesus comes back, and every nation will bow down before him. Every knee will bow in heaven and on earth. Everyone will be subject to him. And that's a glorious truth that needs to burn in our hearts. And as it burns in our hearts, so we lay hold of it in our day, in our time, in our city, in our place, in our neighborhood, in our workplace, in our school, everywhere we are. We lay hold of that thing. That's really what it's about. So, and then we went on to look at 1 Timothy 4 verse 12. And 1 Timothy 4 verse 12 says, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity.
The ESV says, don't let anyone despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. And two sermons ago, I preached about set an example in speech. And what does that mean for us? What does that mean, set an example in speech? And we looked at the context of Timothy, who was a timid man. And yet he had been put in charge of churches by Paul. And Paul is writing to him and saying, Timothy, set an example in speech. And Timothy's temptation would not have been to swear at people or to tell them where to get off. His temptation would have been to keep quiet and not to say the things that he needed to say. And really, we want to become those who take every half gap that there is for the gospel. We want to be those who speak the word of God into situations and see them unlocked. We bring words of knowledge in the marketplace, not just in the church. We want to be those who see the kingdom of God come upon people right where we are, in our workplace, in our schools, in our communities, in our neighborhoods, in our street. We want to be those who see the kingdom of God poured out. And so we want to be those who set an example in speech. We also want to be those who set an example in conduct. And I preached last time about conduct. Setting an example of conduct is not doing just culturally appropriate things so that older people think that you're okay because you've done the right thing. Nor is it just being morally upright, doing the morally right thing to do. No, no. It's much more than that. It is those things, but it's much more than that. It's actually keeping in step with the Holy Spirit. It's walking in the life of God that has been poured out into your life. Because God knows what He's up to, and He wants you to be involved in it. And that's really what we want to do. We want to be like the sons of Issachar, who knew their times and knew what Israel should do. We want to be prophetic people who keep in step with the Spirit in their day. And so we come to 1 Timothy 4 verse 12 again today. And I want to speak to you about set an example in love. Set an example. That's the third word. Remember, it says set an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. And we're going to deal today with set an example in love. So how do we set an example in love? And I particularly want to preach to you in the context of Gen 2 being launched today. And I particularly want to be speaking to the young people here today, because a lot of you are called to a great thing. And we're launching something, we're launching an initiative in this church, but this initiative is not all there is. Actually, it's about your lives. It's about you blazing forth, shining like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life in a crooked and depraved generation. That's what we want. And it's not just in Gen 2 meetings. It's in your life. It's in your school. It's in your workplace. It's wherever you go, you're going to blaze like stars in the universe. And that's really what I want to speak to you guys about today. And to remind you of the context that this was written, Paul is writing to a young man who's set in charge of churches, and he's a timid young man, as I've said already this morning. And Paul is saying, even though you're timid, even though you're young, set an example. Set an example that others can look to you, that others can follow you. And so how do we set an example in love? Well, I want to argue this morning that you set an example in love by loving God first, and then by loving others, and then also by loving His world that He created. And so let's start with loving God first. And perhaps the first thing to be said is that none of us can love God as He's called us to love unless we ourselves have received His love. As 1 John 4:19 says, we love because He first loved us. In other words, the initiative to love is not ours. It starts with Him and His great love for us. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. In other words, God, in His great mercy and love, reached down to us who were far from Him, who were sinners, who were given over to the passions of our flesh, and He rescued us from our depraved lives. It was His initiative. How many of us know that when God stepped into our life, we were far from Him? We weren't even looking in His direction. We were cut off from Him. And yet He came and rescued us. It's His grace that has brought us to salvation. Not of ourselves, not our own works, but it's the gift of God. It's the beautiful, wonderful gift of God. He rescued us when we didn't deserve it. We did not deserve it. There's nothing that we could have done to deserve His love, but He, in His great love, initiated our salvation, sent His Son, died in our place, that we could become not only forgiven sinners, but children of the living God, who have a destiny and a purpose and an eternity in heaven with Him. Hallelujah. It's a wonderful, wonderful truth. So as a young person in this church, getting ready for the Gen 2 meeting, perhaps you're longing for respect, you're longing to be listened to, you're longing to fulfill your destiny in God, you're longing to take your place in the family of God. The place to start is to get yourself into the love of God, to encounter God, to be in His presence. As the psalmist says in Psalm 84, better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. He must be our first in our hearts. Having Him, being found in Him, loving Him must be our consuming passion. At the beginning of the year, I preached a sermon from the Song of Songs. I don't know if you remember them. Song of Solomon. Remember that sermon? And we looked at the passage, my beloved spoke and said to me, arise, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me. See, the winter is past, the rains are over and gone. Flowers appear on the earth, the season of singing has come, the cooing of doves is heard in our land. The fig tree forms its early fruit, the blossoming vines spread their fragrance. Arise, come, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me. And you remember what we spoke about. We spoke about this amazing love of God, how He woos us and He calls us His own. He says of us, my darling, my beautiful one. That's how He sees us. It's the love of God. You've got to see yourself in the love of God. You've got to see yourself as the love of God sees you. When you get that in your soul, you're free to forget about yourself and to live for Him. And then we also spoke about a season of singing that's coming upon this church, and a season in which we're living in these days. And it's a season of revival, I'm convinced of it. It's a season of joy, of flowers, of things springing forth. That's what the season we're in. And finally, He says, arise, come, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me. In other words, get in on my mission. Get in on what I'm doing in all the earth. These are the things that He'd... And it starts with the love of God. It starts knowing His love. You're going to be in the mission of God? No, you've got to know His love first. You want to get in on the things that God is up to in these days? You've got to be grounded in the love of God. You've got to know in your soul that you're accepted and that you're forgiven, that you've been snatched out of the kingdom of darkness and placed into the kingdom of light. You've got to know your security, your place in the kingdom, the love of God for you. When you know His love, His love overflows to others. And we're in a season where Jesus is saying that to us. He wants us to join Him in His mission on the earth. And that mission starts with the revelation of the love of God. So now, not letting others look down on us or despising us because we are young, because we are setting an example in love, begins with an encounter of the love of God, ourselves, and being grounded in His love. It is believing what He says about us, more than what our friends, the world, the devil, or anyone else says about us. This can take some time, particularly if you grew up with a measure of rejection in your life, whether by friends, siblings, mother, or father. Many of us who grew up without fathers feel that rejection in our hearts. It can take some time to get that old belief that we're not accepted out of our souls, and that we're useless and no good and worthless and full of shame and not worthy of love and acceptance. To get that out of our hearts and get in the love of God into our hearts. And you do this by believing God's words. And I want to suggest that there are two practices that is good to put in place in terms of this. The one is the memorization of Scripture and spending time in the Word of God. You know, when I was a child, my parents used to buy us little Scripture Union books, which would help us, and I didn't bring one this morning, but would help me with quiet times. It's just like a little verse. Each day you read the little verse, and then has an explanation of that verse. And that's a good thing to do. If you don't know how to read the Bible every day, get something like that. Selwyn Hughes does an excellent series called Every Day with Jesus. I can't recommend it highly enough. Every Day with Jesus. Get hold of one of those little books. It'll help you get the Word of God into your life. It's the life of God. Starting to memorize, even the Scripture that we've been reading today, memorizing that. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Learn that sort of thing. Learn it. Know it off by heart. Get it into your soul, because it helps you to stop believing the lies that the world tells you about yourself and start to believe the truth that God speaks to you about yourself. So many of us, as Christians growing up in school, often feel less than the guys around. We feel we're not quite as crass. We're not as good at rugby. We're not as this. We're not as that. Because those guys are going for it in the things of the world. Well, actually, that's not God's perspective on you. And we hold back and we shrink and we're like colorless and not ourselves because we're intimidated by those people. But that's because we haven't got the Word of God in our hearts. We're not living out the Word of God. We're not living out the person who God has created us to be. Because if you're doing that, actually you're on the front foot. You're affecting the world, not being affected by the world. Does that make sense? And it comes from being grounded in the love of God. And so I'd suggest one of the things to do is read the Word every day. Spend time in the Scripture every day. And if you don't know how to do it, get one of those little books. It'll help you. You just read every day. It takes you about 5 to 10 minutes. But it gets the Word into your heart. The other thing I would suggest is spend time in the presence of God. That's another key. Two Sundays ago, we had a soaking service called Encounter, where we encountered the presence of God in an extraordinary measure. It was a time of just no agendas, of simply receiving from Him, because we tend to be people who are very good at doing stuff and being activists and praying and asking God for stuff, but we're not as good at just receiving from God. And really, that time was really set aside to enable us to learn how to receive from God. Because when you're filled up, you can flow out. When God pours into you, you pour out to others. And so we want to do more of those sort of times. But I want to encourage you to be one who is like a God junkie. You just want more and more and more of God. You want to be near Him. You want to be in His presence. That is food for your soul. So much of my life has been instructed by times like that, where God in those times has spoken His word, prophetic words have come into my life. I remember during the move of the Holy Spirit in the 90s, was it? 94, 95,
those times where God came upon us and in such extraordinary measure, and He whispered His secrets into our hearts and spoke to us about our destiny and our purpose. Those are amazing times. And we live in the light of those times. All of those who was around in the church during those times. Can you remember some of the things that God said to you? Yes, of course you can. And we want that. And it's available to us right now, right here. So once we've received the love of God, and receiving the love of God actually starts with being born again. And some of you here may not be born again. You may not know what I'm talking about here this morning. You may have a sense in your heart, actually, I like what I'm hearing. I feel a stirring in my soul. I'd love to be God's. I don't even know how to do that. I know I'm far from Him. But today, the Bible says that today is the day of salvation. You can know God today. Right in the midst of your circumstance, even if you feel full of shame, you feel far from Him, you feel full of sin, you feel that there's nothing that God could accept you for, God says, no, I love you. In spite of those things, I love you. I want to make you my child. I want you to be my very own. As the Bible says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So you become a new creation when you come into Christ. Or maybe you have been born again already. But maybe you've never experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where God comes upon you in great power. And for the first time, and infuses into your soul His passions and His purposes, and lavishes you with spiritual gifts like prophecy, speaking in tongues, gifts of healing, words of knowledge, and so on. Maybe you need the first power encounter with the Spirit this morning. And that can happen for you today. That too is the foundation of receiving the love of God. So not only do you need to be born again, but you need to receive the love of God in being baptized in the Spirit. And maybe you've been born again and baptized in the Spirit, but you find your life is cracked and dry like a desert. And God wants to come and fill you again with His passion and His glorious presence. He wants to revive your soul and set you again on the foundation of His passionate love and wonderful embrace, so that you can say with the psalmist, how lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The valley of Baca is a place of weeping. And in the midst of the place of weeping, God can make it a place of springs. So with the love of God for us as the source, I would like to make just some points about not letting others look down on you as you are young, but set an example for the believers in love. And I've just got two points here I want to make as we close. The first is set an example in your love for God. Set an example in your love for God. So with the love of God for us as the sure foundation, we can then set an example in our love for God. You know, there's something so attractive about love of God, about those who have given themselves to loving God. Commands respect. There's an authority that comes from giving yourself wholeheartedly to God. And as young people today, give yourselves to God. Give yourselves to the love of God. I remember when I was courting Roseanne, one of the things that so attracted me about her was her passionate love of God. She was going for God with all her heart. It is just amazing when we see people who are free to give themselves wholeheartedly to God. They are not taken up with themselves. They are able to give themselves in love to God. And that first requires receiving God's love, and then we can love God. If I can just address you as young people for a bit again. If you want respect in this community,
If you want to be able not to let people look down on you because you're young, then you have to get beyond being consumed with self, preoccupied with your performance and your place, with your acceptance and honor. I remember as a young man being so consumed with self, constantly thinking about myself and how I was being seen by others, constantly comparing myself to others and whether I was part of the crowd or not. It was a real tyranny. It took years of pursuing God for God to free me of that. And I was, as you, many of you know, I went over to Canada this in June, July this year, and I went back to a college that I had studied at in my postgraduate 17 years ago. And I was just remembering and thanking God for the things that have happened in those past 17 years. And I was thanking God, you know, 17 years ago I wasn't married when I came, and now I'm married. I have a beautiful wife. 17 years ago I had no children. Now I have three beautiful children. 17 years ago I didn't have a business, and now I have a business. 17 years ago I wasn't a leader in the church, and now I am a leader in the church. I'm involved in the church of God. And one of the things I was most thankful for was that 17 years ago I was consumed with self all the time. And now I have this glorious freedom of not being consumed with self. And that's been a gift from God. That's a wonderful, wonderful gift of God. And let me say this to you as young people. Many of you will be hoping to be married someday. And the best way to be prepared to be married, the best way to get ready for that phase of life, is to give yourself to the love of God. Get your soul in a state where you're consumed with Him and Him alone. It is this givenness to the other that most prepares us to be ready to be given to a marriage partner. So give yourself to God. And this is also true of those who desire leadership in the church. Give yourself to God and He'll raise you up. Give yourself to Him and He'll use you in the lives of others. So that was my first point. Set an example in your love for God. And my final point is, set an example in your love for others. With the love of God as your source and with God as your first love in your heart, then you can't help but love others. It is the love of God in your heart that overflows to others. As Romans 5 verse 5 in the King James Version says, God's love has been shed abroad in our hearts. It's poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. It is this love that helps us to love others. As a young person longing for a place and for respect in the community, it's your love for others that overflows from your love for God that has at its source God's love for you that is going to win you a place in what He's called you to in this generation. It is as we get God's compassion for people that we start to act in the love of God towards other people. And this is true in all areas of life. I remember in my second year university, I was quite taken up with a young lady, and I was quite infatuated with her, and she was not infatuated with me at all. And it took a, and it was probably about a year that I was in this terrible state, and it was a trouble to my soul, and it took so much energy, and I was just sick of it. It made me depressed, self-conscious, and awkward, and eventually I cried out to God, and I said, God, please, 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 won't you just take this desire away from me? And I remember God saying very clearly to me at that time, He said, until you learn to love me and me alone, I will not give you a marriage partner. It was very straight. That's what He said to me. And I said, Father, that's what I want. Help me to love you and you alone. And He kind of took me on a journey. And eventually that journey led me to 1 Corinthians 13. And I remember starting to pray through 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. And I remember starting to pray that about this young lady that I was infatuated about. Praying that through. And as I did that, I came to love her in that way. And what that led to was that I was no longer taken up with her. And it was actually right that that relationship didn't go anywhere. As it wasn't going anywhere anyway, but in my heart, I was set free because I started to love her as I was meant to love her. And it was after that that God brought Roseanne into my life. And with Roseanne, it was not like that. Actually, loving her in that way actually led us to marriage because it was God's purpose for us. And so it was putting God's love first and loving a person as they should be loved in Him. And like so that's good for you when you're thinking about getting a marriage partner. Start loving them as God wants you to love them. He'll set you in the right course. He'll set you in a good stead. And likewise, this is true when we reach out to the world as well. It's love for others that springs from a love for God that has at its source God's amazing love for us, that also the ground and foundation for reaching out to neighbors with the love of God. When we have God's love burning in our hearts, we're not ashamed of the gospel. We start to believe that the good news that transformed our hearts will also transform the hearts of those around us. So we are ready to take every half gap given to us in conversations and in needs that come into our lives of those around us so that we bring the good news to bear upon their lives. I remember as a young student, I used to go out to a place called Franschhoek from the University of Cape Town, and Franschhoek is in the Western Cape, and there was a pastor there, Pastor Leon de Jager. And Leon was quite a character. And one of the things that Leon used to say about evangelism is he used to say, pray that needs come into the lives of those you want to reach. Because it's in the time of need that people are open to God. And I've certainly seen that. I've seen it at times when I've been able to witness to people in the media world. It's often when they're in desperate need. When they have cancer. Or when their friend's leg has been blown off in a landmine in Afghanistan, or whatever it is. When needs come into their lives, there's a gap, and you take the gap, and you speak the word. You say, I'm praying for you. I'm praying that the grace of God will be with you. Those are the times that you can witness. Those are the times where you can speak into people's lives. Those are the times when they need to hear God's word, because they are desperate. They're without hope or help in the world apart from God. It's those things. When the enemy comes in like a flood, he raises up a standard. I remember Magloire Marango telling me not so long ago that in Burundi and Rwanda in these days, the gospel has exploded. Exploded. Thousands upon thousands have swept into the kingdom. Why? Because they're on the back of a genocide and people need God. And so they're looking to God. I was at CCP AGM on Monday, and the main speaker was speaking about here in Pietermaritzburg that we are in the global epicenter of the HIV/AIDS pandemic. When Satan comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. We are in the context of revival. We are in desperate circumstance here in South Africa, and that is the primary context for revival. And I want to finish with this point. See, friends, revival is among us, and we want to be a people of revival. We want to be a people who get in on what God is doing in this generation. God is on a mission. Now, just to remind you of that wave that is coming. And the wave not only comes across the church, but it goes on to hit the world, to take out the demonic forces that stand against us. And that's where God
has us. And in the months to come, we are going to be, and the years to come, we are going to be very intentional about putting structures and systems and processes in place to reach the city. We're going to do that because we know that the harvest is white. But we must never forget that it is the Lord of the harvest who has made it so. And that it is His initiation. And that we are partnering with Him in reaching this nation and reaching this city. We don't want just techniques and structures. We want the Spirit. We want miracles. We want the life of the Spirit among us. And it starts right here, right now. And so maybe there are some of you this morning who need a fresh touch from God. Maybe some of you need to be born again. You've never been born again. You've never known what it is to be born of the Spirit, to have God come and live within you. And maybe some of you also need to be baptized in the Spirit, as I mentioned earlier. You need that power encounter with God to give you gifts that enables you to live in this life of the Spirit. Or maybe you also need to be filled again by His Spirit. And I want to offer you the opportunity to do that this morning as we close. And we can pray for you, lay hands on you. And God's kingdom will come because God is here among us right now. And He will do these things. So it's not just for tomorrow or next week. No, it's here right now. God is among us. Let's stand and pray together. Father, we want to thank You. Thank You that You have so poured out Your love towards us, Lord, that it has captivated our hearts. Lord, we're never the same when we encounter You. We're so grateful that You have encountered us. And I even pray this morning for those who are desperately needing a touch from You. If that's you, won't you just lift up your hands while every eye is closed? Won't you just lift your hands? Lift your hands to God. He's here to touch you this morning. Father, I ask that You would come upon each one, Lord, that is just looking to You. Each heart, each soul, Lord Jesus, that longs for You this morning. Won't You come again? And You touch them afresh by Your Holy Spirit. Lord, we want to be those who are totally taken up in Your love. Totally given over to You. Love for God and love for others. In Jesus' name. I pray, Lord Jesus, those who need to be born again, Lord, right now, if you need to know God, you've never known God before, you've never encountered Him, you've never given your heart to Jesus, won't you just pray after me? Father, I thank You for ever sending Jesus to die on the cross for me. I thank You that in Jesus my sins are forgiven. I've been set free from them. Thank You that in Jesus I can become a child of the living God. I can become adopted by You. I can become Yours forever and ever. Thank You, Jesus. Lord, I want You to come and live in my heart. I want You to come and take over my life and be my Lord and my Savior. From now onward, I want my life to be in Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord.